I'm here sitting with Nigel Swan at his exhibition at the Irish Architectural Archives of photos that he's made over a period of years of the yellow star doors of Budapest. Nigel, thank you for talking with us. Could you explain, first of all, what are the yellow star doors of Budapest?
Yellow star houses, actually.
Houses.
Call them.
Sorry,
it's quite all right. People do say to me, actually, they remind them of the Georgian doors of Dublin, which is probably quite interesting. They're called yellow star houses. They were houses that on the 16th of June, 1944, a decree was issued through the mayor's office in Budapest that 1,944 apartment blocks. When we say house, we think of a house, a three-bedroom house. When they say house, they mean an apartment block. So you're talking about maybe 50 to 100 apartments in each one of these 1,944. There's a fun fact. In 1944, there was 1,944 houses. And they became known, consequently, I think, after a lot of work has been done on them. They're now what is known as a dispersed ghetto, where they would, instead of bringing the Jew to the ghetto, they brought the ghetto to the Jew. And they were quite proud of that, I think. I believe the Germans were sort of whinging about how long it was taking the Hungarians to organize all this. And Eichmann had been in the city as well. And they then, like the Arrow Cross, who were the fascist group, took power. Mm-hmm. And they probably never worked so hard in all their lives.
Right. It's still something of a contentious issue in Budapest, where you've lived for a number of years, mm-hmm. and where I was once the correspondent for Reuters, about who actually did organize.
Exactly.
So what can you tell us about who was behind the Yellow Star?
Well, from the information that I've seen and the documents, they're coming out of the mayor's office in Budapest. I mean, it was definitely a government-run situation. Of course, now they're saying, oh, we were invaded by the Germans, and we were this. I understand it's complicated for them, but these were decrees with official stamps on them. There was no doubt in my mind. Okay, maybe there wasn't was it a putsch that took them into power? Was it a coup d'etat? I'm not sure of that history. Unfortunately, Dr. Gwen Jones isn't here. She would know all about that.
Gwen Jones being...
She was the lady who sort of set up the yellowstarhouses.org website from the Open Society Archive and the Central European University in Budapest, and really was so generous with her information to me, really incredibly generous, and just handed me the list maybe 8 months before they went live, so I could literally go out and confront, take these portraits of these buildings. Of which a lot of them, as I think I mentioned to you earlier, were taken between June and September because the light was constant. Mm-hmm. I also, you notice there's no people in them. That's purely, I've never taken pictures of people. If there are, they're by chance. It nearly says more about people with there not being any people there.
We do know what happened, but could you just say what happened to the people, to the Jews who were told to go stay in these 1,000
Well, eventually they would be in some of the houses at night time. They would be all told to meet in the... They were holding houses. There were mainly old people and women and children in them. The men were sent off in these forced labour camps and building, you know, trenches on the Ukrainian front. Never... One in, you know, 4 out of every 5 died. There is a... I did read a figure. I should... note, but it was just horrendous. So there were old people, women, kids, and some men. Our stories of some men being there for whatever reason, maybe through bribery or for whatever reason. But they would be asked to do the most inane things. They would be asked to go down into the courtyard at night time. They'd then be marched. You know, it's a 5-mile walk to Obuda, which is in the old Roman area. There was a brick factory there where they'd stand. Now, they're marching with their hands in the air too, apparently. Then they got to the brick factory, they'd be told to stand there with their hands in the air. And then they'd march them back at dawn. And when they came back, what little they did have had been plundered and raided and stolen.
Now, see, so you mentioned in the lecture you gave here a little just previous to us talking that the knowledge of these houses was lost after the war, perhaps deliberately.
I would imagine deliberately, yes, because I you know, there's no other way to put it, but I think 250,000 apartments were stolen. You know, they moved in and, well, they're dead. We love this one. Thanks very much. So I'm quite sure no one wants to discuss that, you know. And I'm definitely they don't want to discuss that. So, yes, it was met with kind of a brick wall, you know, really was. It was met with it until, as I met Gwen, and she released all these notes. And then, interesting, as I mentioned, they have found 6,500 documents behind a wall. They were found in the middle of 2014. And these explain the process, the sort of bureaucratic mind works and how it decides. We'll have this apartment, this block. And they're all pretty nice blocks. You know, I'd say they chose them because of their size and their parquet flooring and their 4 meter high ceilings, and, you know. But the scale of it is enormous. It's really, I mean, it's a big city, as you know, but to think there was almost 2,000 apartment blocks dedicated to this is really something.
So you've mentioned the woman in with the contacts at the CEU.
Yeah. Dr. Gwen Jones, yeah.
So, just in brief, I mean, she would be better to be speaking to her to have her hear it, but what is your understanding for the reason for bringing back this knowledge?
Because of the culture of forgetting. It suits a lot of people to forget. I mean, we're as bad here in Ireland, believe you me. We're also very bad at the culture of remembering. So both are evil, double-sided swords. But I think it's just a case of this can't. It's people who rewrite history, they're dangerous, you know. They're really dangerous. So I think that was the vanguard and the notion behind it all.
And just finally, what possessed a Presbyterian Irishman like yourself from Portadown mm-hmm. to get involved in a project like this?
Again, that culture of forgetting. We have there's a lot of that goes on in the north of Ireland too, a heck of a amount of it, and it's actually, this is a great starting block for me because I have further things I want to develop about the north through really what I've learned in doing this project.